Just as we have borne the image of the earthly one, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly one. So we heard from St. Paul in our second reading today from his first letter to the Corinthians. Who is this earthly one of whom he's speaking? He's speaking about Adam, the earthly man, the first man formed out of the clay of the earth, the man whom God breathed into him the breath of life, placed him in the Garden of Eden with his wife, a paradise where they had friendship with God, and they were alive with supernatural life. But if you know how the story goes, you know that into that garden crept sin in the form of a temptation. Satan convinced Eve that God did not have their best intentions at heart. Adam ate of the fruit of which God told him not to eat, and sin entered the world. That first sin, the original sin, is the belief that God does not have our best interests at heart. And so from that moment, Adam and all of his descendants became truly earthly, because we lost the supernatural life of God, the divine life in our souls. And we became so earthly that it is the trajectory of our lives to return back to the earth from which we came. So what is God to do? Well, foreseeing this happening from all eternity, God promises a second Adam, a heavenly Adam, the heavenly one that St. Paul speaks of today. Who is that heavenly one? He's Jesus, God made man. So we inherit from our ancestor Adam our human nature, and with it that sin. But it is our choice to believe in Jesus through faith and baptism. And we receive from him not that only human life, but that divine life, the supernatural life, the immortal life that Adam had lost. We have no choice but to be born human. But we do have a choice to believe in Jesus, to have faith. We get that divine, that supernatural, heavenly life when we are born again by baptism, when we have God as our Father. Yesterday, I had the privilege of baptizing three little babies, the oldest of whom was born in September of last year. So they were really little babies. And there's always a precious gift about being present at another human being's beginning of their faith journey. And as I explained to the parents and godparents, it's their responsibility to help the children to know what God does for them. Of course, they're babies. They can't make the choice of faith. They're baptized into the faith of the church and the faith of their parents. And as they grow, they have to learn what that means. They have to learn what it means to have Jesus Christ as their brother and God as their Father, and all of the implications of that. There are many implications. The heavenly Adam, Jesus, he has many things to say about how we live our earthly lives as his followers, how we live with faith in this world when that divine life is alive within us. And these last few Sundays, we've been hearing a lot about Jesus' teaching on how we are to live. Last Sunday, if you recall, it began with the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor, the hungry, those who weep, those who are persecuted for their faith. The Beatitudes turn the world's expectations upside down. And Jesus continues that in today's gospel. We heard him tell us to love our enemies, to not only love them, but to do good to them, to bless them, to pray for them. And he himself gives us the perfect example of that, doesn't he? When he goes up onto the cross after his crucifixion, the first thing that he says is, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He tells us to trust God to settle our accounts. He says, "Give to everyone who asks of you, and don't expect anything back." He gives us what we call the golden rule: do to others as you would have them do to you. He tells us not to be like the sinners who do good only to get something back in return. He tells us to be merciful in judgment, slow to condemn, quick to give, and the one that always gets me, the measure with which you treat others will be measured back to you. How's that for an examination of conscience? The measure with which we treat others will be the measure that we receive from God. The merciful Jesus reveals the Father's mercy and calls us likewise to be merciful. His teaching takes everything that the world exalts and expects from us and turns it upside down. That's why we need to live according to the divine life that is within us. How do I live out this call to mercy? It's a question we all have to ask ourselves. If I have made the choice to follow Jesus, to live according to that divine life that's alive in me by my baptism, am I striving to live that way? Is that expressed in my day-to-day actions and how I treat others? I have to show mercy just as Jesus did. And when we show mercy, we tend to put ifs, ands, and buts on the thing. But Jesus doesn't give any of that. He simply tells us to do it. We will soon be in the season of Lent. Ash Wednesday is a week from this Wednesday. And in the season of Lent, we adopt many ascetical practices. We usually divide them into three categories: prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And through those practices, we are asking God to have mercy on us. Because as we admit on Ash Wednesday, "Have mercy on me, O God, for I am a sinner." We ask God to have mercy on us, but then we in turn have to be willing to show mercy outwards to our brothers and sisters. That what we expect God to show to us should be our expectation for those in our lives. So I would encourage you in these days before the beginning of Lent to think of someone perhaps with whom you do not get along, someone that really bothers you, maybe someone that you have a strained relationship with them for whatever reason, and to commit to pray for them during this season of Lent. The measure with which you measure will be measured out to you. Last Sunday, I asked all of us to consider what our practices are going to be this Lent, and to invite you to consider joining a small group. We talked about how Jesus is the living water who refreshes us and gives us life, and that in the season of Lent, we want to approach that living water anew. We use an image of getting into the pool of the living water. And then our brothers and sisters in those groups help us, encourage us to meet Jesus, to get in the water, and to live the Christian life, which at times is difficult. It's not easy to love those who hate us, or to show kindness to them, or to bless them. We need the support of our brothers and sisters in order to do that. Our Lenten insert is once again in this Sunday's bulletin. And we did that on purpose, so that hopefully you had a week maybe to think and pray about joining a small group, and that insert is there again to tell you how to join one, where to go and what to do, to get on our website, find out when they're being offered, and to make that leap, make that jump into the pool of a small group. So I'll end today as I began, with the words of St. Paul. Just as we have been born, just as we have borne the image of the earthly one, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly one. May we bear the image of Jesus, alive in our souls because of our baptism. And may he be merciful to us in our weakness. And may we show mercy to our brothers and sisters.